Please turn with me to our second scripture reading, the main text, Luke chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 13 of Luke chapter 11. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he, Jesus, ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.' And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks him for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would now be with us as we preach your word, Lord, as you pray. And we pray, Lord, that your word would go forth to all who hear, that we would be blessed, we would be encouraged, rebuked, and there are necessary, Lord. Whatever your will is for each one of us, Lord, we pray that you would do that work according to your perfect will, we pray. We ask, Lord, that your spirit would be amongst us now, that you would illuminate the word to us and to our minds and to our hearts, so that we'd be not just hearers, but doers of your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message is The Believer's Security. We'll focus mostly on the last verse, verse 13, and we'll also focus on the Ephesians chapter that we read earlier. And the believer's security, I know that the desire for safety and security is written kind of in the DNA of all of us. You know, we build houses. Yes, we build walls to keep us secure and to secure us from the natural environment, right? We want to get be away from the wind, the rain, the hurricanes, the storms, safety from intruders, those who would seek to steal our possessions or hurt some of our prized possession, our family. I think most of us would consider this a good thing, a desire to have security as we want ourselves and those we love to be protected and have peace of mind. Who tonight here would not want to have peace of mind? Please leave if you would. Unfortunately, as many of us here tonight know, there's no real peace of mind in this world. No matter how much the world tries, no matter how we secure our homes with all the alarms, with all the we install, how many dogs we have to protect our homes, the walls we do erect, the world is still anxious, worried, concerned, and continues to try to find rest and peace for its soul. All one has to do is turn on the news day in and day out. You find chaos, unrest, both personal and political, all around us, and we feel less safe and secure. Of course, brothers and sisters, we know that there is no safety, no security apart from the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in us who believe by the Holy Spirit of Christ. And yet, brethren, we are too often without peace, as our minds and our hearts are naturally carried away to the concerns and the chaos in this world of sin. Even for us who trust in the Lord, there's much to trouble us. Jesus said we will have trouble in this world, but he has overcome the world. The world hates us Many of the political leaders do everything they can to pass laws that are ungodly, laws that seek to bring us and our children into bondage to the world system, teaching all kinds of wickedness in the schools by law, desiring to murder babies in the womb and promoting sex changes for young children who are clueless about the future ramifications of such insanity. Now, since I've lifted up your hearts tonight, what can we do to help us to be secure? Well, we need to combat this world in all the chaos, and I think the answer is in our main text. And we see here that we need to go to our Heavenly Father, obviously, and to ask and to knock and to seek and to continue to come and persevere in prayer. But the one thing that the best gift that the Father can give us, as is mentioned in our text, is the Holy Spirit. In Sunday school, we're studying chapter 15 of John, where Jesus tells the disciples the world will hate them because it hates him, and they will suffer and be persecuted for their faith. In chapter 16, he says they're going to be thrown out of synagogues. The world will rejoice that Jesus is dead, and the disciples will be sorrowful, Jesus tells them. But he says, your sorrow will be turned to joy, for they will see him again, and no one will be able to take their joy from them. And how will this be accomplished? Well, when Jesus departs from this world, he sends his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth. He says in John 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me and take what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So now the disciples are totally perplexed because they haven't gotten it yet. And they soon will be enlightened. The Spirit will guide them into this world of chaos. He will do so by reminding them of everything that Jesus has said. Had spoken to them, they will come to understand what Jesus has done, what he will do for them, and they will have peace because Jesus will dwell in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. So at the end of chapter 16, they're beginning to get it. Actually, they say, now we're sure that you know all things and you have no need that anyone should question you. This we believe you came forth from God. They finally got it. Jesus says, now, could you imagine the apostles, right? The disciples have been with him. Jesus answers, says, now you believe? Really? After all this time, you believe? How weak we are. He says, indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone because the Father is with me. Here's the key. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, brethren, we might look at the disciples and say, my favorite word, what knuckleheads. How long will it take them to get what Jesus has been trying to tell them all this time? Because we know the whole story, right? We know the end. Some of you read the end of the book first before you start in the beginning. We know the end, right? We know the book. We know the whole story. And we might be tempted to say at this point, well, I got it. I know the whole story. I get it. Well, like Peter, we think we have it, but soon we realize we really don't. Of course, peace, joy, and security is through and in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, in me you may have peace. Though the world will have tribulation, and we are in the world, yet because we are in Christ, we have peace. Peace with God, resulting in a peaceful conscience and rest for our souls. Sounds good, right? The word sounds good. Well, not so fast. While we have more revelation than the disciples had, we have the whole truth, the whole Bible, everything we need for salvation, growth and grace. Yet there is more that we need in order to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit to take all that is written in this book and to illuminate our minds, as Pastor Doug prayed before, and our hearts, so we can say with the psalmist that we read in Psalm 4, you have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I don't know about you, but they were at that time, they were really happy when the grain and the wine increased. Matter of fact, they had some really great feasts. I'm pretty joyful during feasts. I just want to tell you that. right? I don't know about you, but I'm joyful. But he says, I will both lie down. It's more than that season of grain and wine, more than you can understand. I will both lie down in peace, the psalmist says, and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Brethren, we need prayer and we need the Holy Spirit of Christ who dwells in us to give us this peace, this security, this peace of mind, joy and strength to persevere in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the world that's trying to pull us down. Now, the word and knowing. See, the idea, we can read it. We can read the scripture. How many of you have read scriptures hundreds of times and just one time you read it and actually you get it, right? We're no different than the disciples. We read it, read it, read it. Sometimes we just, the Lord, this Holy Spirit comes to us and gives us what we need to hear. So we need to know what the Lord is trying to teach us, right? We need to know the word. We need to know what God has for us. The word know in the New Testament is often translated from two Greek words. One is oikeos, or the root meaning is connected to an intimate relationship in a family. It's like a familiar relationship, to know your family, to know everyone in the household. So that term is often used in the New Testament. The other one that's used more often, and that word is used when the apostles said that they knew that Jesus came from God. They were familiar. They knew it. They finally, you know, knew it. The other Greek word in the New Testament is gnosko, which means to come to know, to perceive, to fully understand, to really get it. The Jews used it as a sexual relationship between a husband and wife, to get to know. So to know is to be fully convinced, to have the truth, to understand it, so you can stand on it, so as Jesus said many times, so as not to stumble. This knowledge, brethren, is not something that I can say, yeah, I got that scripture. I know that Jesus said this or Paul said that. It is a supernatural knowledge. Paul tells us that this knowledge, this understanding comes supernaturally to those who have the Spirit of Christ. Only supernaturally can we come to understand and have the word come and really tell us what we need to know and know more of the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. How many times, as I mentioned, have you been in devotions and all of a sudden, by the Spirit of God, by grace alone, that you begin to see this scripture, it comes alive. You all of a sudden, you see your sin, you're repenting of your sin, and yet you're joyful in knowing that God has brought you to repentance. He's brought you to the point of where you see your sin and you want to kill that sin. And then you just have your own little revival, right? And not often enough, not often enough. But the Lord is gracious sometimes where we are able to do that. The Spirit of truth has come to all of us. And so Paul says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. How many people want to know the deep things of God? We only want to know the deep things of God that are written in here, and there are plenty of those. The deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except for the spirit of a man that's in him? The only man knows what's inside of him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We are to know the things that are given to us freely by God. We can know what God has done, what he will do, and the glorious inheritance that we have. And now we have this down payment. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of Christ. And we can know our future hope when we will be in glory and see Christ as he is and have that total peace and rest that we sing about. That is our security, brethren. It is revealed to us, made real to us by the Spirit of Christ who lives in us. And we have the mind of Christ and are made more like him by the Spirit's work. Now, I've said all this, brethren, so that as we read the main text again this evening, we'll be sure that it's only by prayer and by the Holy Spirit that we can know, fully know, the love of God for us in Christ. That the Father desires to give us the best gift, more of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, which he has already given to us when he called us and saved us. We need the continuing filling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible commands us, be filled with the Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine. Do not be controlled by wine, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We are in Christ to know our security in Christ, being assured of our salvation, so we can fight the good fight of faith. If we are not assured, filled with the Holy Spirit, assured of our salvation, confident in the love of God for us, confident in what we have in Christ, we won't share that good news if we're not confident of that good news. And only by the Holy Spirit can we be steadfast, immovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord. So, in Luke chapter 11, in verse 9, where he says, seek and knock, and he goes all the way down to verse 13, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And we say, all right, I got that. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Father to give me the Holy Spirit in great measure. Yes, we now understand the text. We will do as it says, and we'll be confident that the Father will give us what he promised. Well, that's a good start, but that's not all. You see, we need to understand, and we need to be able to pray with fervency and understanding of why and what we should be asking the Spirit for. And we need to have an understanding of how we need to pray. Well, Paul, as we read in our first scripture reading, Paul showed us what we need to pray for. He's praying for the Ephesians. He's praying for the Ephesian church, right? And he says, first of all, in verse 15, he says, therefore, I also, having heard of your faith. So he's talking to people of faith, right? People who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. They have faith. They have love for the saints. They're doing great, right? Everybody's right on key here. And Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So seems everything's pretty good. And a blessing, in matter of fact. And then he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Well, why would Paul pray that they need the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him if we say, well, I already know my Father in heaven, right? We need to know our Father in heaven. We need to know him more. We need to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And the only way we can do that is by the Holy Spirit of Christ, the Father of glory. It is the only through the Spirit and his wisdom and his revelation through his word can we know him more fully and can we pray more confidently. How many can say they pray with total confidence that their Heavenly Father loves them, hears them, desires to give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation? If you can say yes tonight, well, then obviously it's the Spirit that's revealing that to you, because naturally we can't do that. I know naturally we don't. Many of us haven't may have had great fathers and we understand the love of a father. Some of us may not have had that. And we not know the love of a father. We not even be able to relate to that. But we need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us and give us wisdom and knowledge and to know the Father, know the love of the Father. It's not that just Jesus loved us and died for us. It's not just, but the Father loved us to send the Son. The Father in the bosom of the Father had love for us. He predestined us. He loved us before the foundation of the world. He loves us more than we can even imagine. We need to grow in that love. We need the spirit of revelation, of wisdom, to understand our Father in heaven, to call out Abba, Father, and really understand who we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father in heaven, and the Holy Spirit, who gives us the ability to see with eyes. In verse 18, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. Again, that word keeps coming up, that you may know. Not that you may just see it and read it and say, okay, I got it. It's more than that. It's knowing in such an intimate way. It's knowing in such a way that only can be revealed to you by the Spirit of the living God. Because our heads, as we just said, our heads are not big enough. Our brains are not big enough to comprehend this, to take it in. We need it supernaturally given to us so that the eyes of our understanding enlighten. Why? Why do we need that? So that we may know the hope of his calling. We need to know, brethren, that it's a certain hope. A guaranteed hope, a security that no unbeliever can comprehend. We are so rich. We have the riches of Christ. It says, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Jesus became poor for us so that we would be rich. We have an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need, with all the saints, we need spiritual eyes to know, to drink from the love of God for us so that our eyes can see the love that chose us, the love that sustains us, the love that keeps us secure to the end and brings us to glory. That is the hope. This is the future hope, the hope we have now sealed by the Spirit. We have that down payment, but we have that future hope that keeps our minds on things above and not on things of the earth and enables us to live lives that glorify our God. This hope and the knowledge of it and the confidence that we have in it is given only by the Spirit of God. Why does the scripture here tell us that God, when we talk about if a father would give good gifts, you being evil, it's a pretty accurate statement. How to give good gifts to your children. Anybody like giving good gifts to their children or to their grandchildren? You all love that, right? Isn't that something you really love to do? Now, why don't we think that God is like that? If God, if we love to do this and give our kids and grandchildren such great gifts, how do we view our God in heaven who chose us before the foundation of the world, loved each one of us, and desires to give us the best gifts? And what is the best gift he says here? He says, wouldn't your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It is given only by the Spirit who works in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. It is he who carries on this progressive work of holiness, for we are saved by into the sanctification of the Spirit. We are changed, brethren, into the image of Christ from glory to glory by the Lord, the Spirit. We are changed by the Holy Spirit. We need to be changed more and more, being filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it in our own strength. As our eyes are enlightened, we would then pray for more of the Holy Spirit's power in our walk, in a walk of faith, and pray. How many of us pray that we would not grieve the Holy Spirit? This Holy Spirit, the one of the Godhead, the God, the one who comes and gives us all the power we need to live our lives in faith. And then he says, Paul says in Ephesians verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Wouldn't you like to have such, you know, I thought about Lazarus, you know, wouldn't you like to be able to raise people from the dead? I mean, that would be like amazing, right? You know, we dream of that stuff. You know, we could do this or that. But this is the power of God to raise Jesus from the dead, to sit him at the right hand of the Father, to raise us from the dead and bring us into glory. This is the power that's at work in us by the Holy Spirit. How much more do we want to pray for the power to help us, to control us, to keep us steady and steadfast? We need to know, to be certain of, to bank on, to praise him for. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? We are secure, brethren. The security, the believer's security, is the power of God by the Holy Spirit. We are kept, Peter says, by the power of God. It is not our power. It is not our works. It is not our doing. It is by the power of God. This power can only be known by the Christian, for it is through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. By faith, which we are saved, is by the Holy Spirit of Christ. The power that keeps us is that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Does God, is God's arm too short? No. He has the power to keep us, and he does keep us by that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We ought to pray for the power of Spirit to control us. We're so prone to wander, so prone to leave the God we love. We need the Holy Spirit. Brethren, we need to ask the Father to fill us with the Spirit so we can know this power. Be secure in this mighty power. Walk in this mighty power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that the same Spirit who raised him from the dead is the one that raised us into new life and will keep us until we are exalted with Christ in his kingdom, where we will join the multitude of ransomed souls before the throne, praising the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the glories of a completed salvation. It is he, the Spirit, who opens the Scripture to us, illuminating the divine word like a telescope. How many of you have a telescope? I have one. I haven't used it in a while. Nobody has a telescope these days. You have a telescope. He unveils the word to us to strengthen us, to guide us, to show us his love, to show us his desire to give us these good gifts that we need. Like a telescope, he unveils by inspiration the wondrous things that are contained in the word of God, which the natural eye cannot see. Have you ever looked at the stars through a telescope in the heavens? Were you amazed at the things that you could see through that telescope that you cannot see with the natural eye? This is what we have, the Holy Spirit giving us illumination into the word of God. Like the telescope, the Spirit unfolds the glories of the Redeemer's work, the beauties of Christ, the completeness of his sacrifice. It is finished. How many times do we need to have the Spirit convince us it is finished? The work is done. There's no more work to do for salvation. And it is the Spirit who brings us along in sanctification to the glorious, glorious throne of grace. So, brethren, how, one of the things in addition to understanding how we need to pray for this enlightenment, for wisdom, for revelation, for to understand the power of God that is in us by the Spirit of God, that we are, that Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God is residing in us. Well, we can become Pentecostals. No, I don't think so. But we can apply this, brethren, tonight, and we can say how the filling, if we were to pray to the Lord God, he says if we were to pray for the Holy Spirit, that God would give us the Holy Spirit. That he commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we ask him, he will do that. I can't imagine what this church would look like if we were filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, this place would be jammed. Our prayer meetings, you'd have to lock the doors. If the Holy Spirit, if we were walking in fullness of the Holy Spirit. You see, because it's not our ability to do so. It's only by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit of Christ, that anything can happen. Anything in this church can even happen. So how the filling of the Holy Spirit would change us, brethren. How we would guard our hearts against temptation. If these amazing truths were branded into our hearts by the Spirit's power, making us more like Christ, more solemn, more careful, more holy, as we proclaim, the Spirit of God dwells in me. This place would be uncontrollable if the Spirit of God were let loose, if God would, by his grace, let his Spirit come in great power. We need to pray. We need to pray for God's power to be in our church and our churches of our land, that the Spirit of God would bring revival to each of our own hearts. I don't know about you, but many times, you know, we walk our walk, we become very dry. Well, there's only one answer to that question or that problem. It's the Holy Spirit of God to come and to revive us, O Lord. Revive us by the Holy Spirit of Christ. We are told not to be drunk with wine, but controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. David cried out in Psalm 51, "Take not your spirit from me." David knew that if the Spirit was not in him, all the things that he could do, he could never do. Without the Holy Spirit, brethren, without the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God, the sacraments, the sermons, the prayers would be all in vain. In themselves, all these things are passive instruments. It is the Spirit's mighty power that makes all things effective for the child of God. This is why we need to pray more for the Holy Spirit, for God to fill us more and more with the Holy Spirit of Christ. You can do all the things in your own strength and it will do you nothing. Let us pray, and our Heavenly Father will give us more of His Holy Spirit to enable us to know Him like never before, to glorify Him like we could never dream on our own. This, brethren, is our chief end, to glorify God. And it is only by the Spirit of God that we could do that. To those who here tonight or under the sound of my voice, young people, if you have not been saved, young people, by the power of God, any young people here tonight? Any old people here tonight? Okay. If you have not been saved by the Spirit of God, if the Spirit does not dwell in you, you are not a child of God. The Scriptures are clear. And you're still in your sin. If you have not come to Christ, repented, and asked Him to fill you with their Spirit, with His Spirit, you are not yet a child of God. You have no way, young people, old people, in between people, you have no way to pay for the debt that you owe the Lord God for your life of unbelief and sin. And should you die in that state, you will face the wrath of the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, who must punish sin. He will judge the living and the dead. We are all dead. Young people, we're all dead in sin when we're born. We have no ability to not sin because we are in sin when we are born. And it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ, which He shed on Calvary to save us from our sins. Should you choose to disregard this call tonight, I'm calling to all the young people. I'm calling to the people who are listening. I'm calling to the old people here tonight. Should you choose to disregard this call, the call to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing all who Jesus is, Savior, Redeemer, and Lord, you will be condemned forever if you die in that state. As you heard this morning, we don't know what a day will bring. We don't know that we'll be here tomorrow. Young people, I know you think you're going to be around for a long time, and you maybe will by the grace of God. But it may be, if you read the paper every day and you see the young people passing away for just all kinds of different reasons, you need to know that today is the day of salvation. You need to know that you need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Ask Him to forgive you. You need to call on Him, ask Him to forgive you and to put His Spirit in you and save you from this eternal torment that is meant only for those who refuse to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, all who come to Him, all who come to Him, He will not cast away, but will forgive all your sins and make you righteous in Him. We have no righteousness. We need His righteousness. Call upon Him tonight before it's too late. Today is the day. Do not ignore His call. Only then will we be able to say, with all those who put their faith in Christ, wouldn't you want to be able to say with the psalmist, I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone make me live in safety. May it be by the Spirit of God that we can know that every day of our lives by the Spirit of God as we pray and ask the Lord by the Spirit to let us know more of Him, to have enlightened eyes, wisdom and understanding, and the hope and the love that we have in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us tonight to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. Many times we pray and we don't really focus on the Holy Spirit, Lord, who you sent to us and to live in us, to work in us, to make us holy, to sanctify us and make us more like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would bring that gift to us, and by your mercy and grace, that you would do it to us individually here tonight and in our church, Lord. We pray for revival in our church. We pray that our prayer meetings would be filled. We pray that we would be on our knees, Lord, asking you to continue to grow us in your grace by the Spirit of God, that we would know you more fully, that we would know your love, the love of the Christ that have died for us to save us, Lord, the power that keeps us forever by your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in that and to say that I will lie down in peace because you, O Lord, are my safety. I thank you and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.